Are you ready for the journey this morning? I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. And I want us to look at verse 13. That's been our text for this month. Glory be to God. In verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How many would say that Abraham did pretty well in his life? He was even described in Genesis 13 as someone who was very rich, rich in cattle and gold and silver and flocks and herds and all that stuff, and men servants and maid servants. And he even saw God's miraculous hand operate in his life. And Christ, through what Christ did in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, we now receive the same benefits. We now receive the same blessing that was on Abraham, and he has redeemed us. It's through redemption that all good things from God come. So I want to let you know today that Jesus is our Redeemer. Amen? No other person, no other entity, no other thing in this earth can redeem you, can cleanse you other than Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. If you want to see the Father, you've got to go through Jesus. And if you turn with me in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, hallelujah. Man, I feel good. Hallelujah. Romans 3, and then we'll look at verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, prior to Jesus doing what he did, we were in a mess. Amen? We were headed for trouble. We were headed down a dead-end road. Death was working in us. We were separated from the life of God. But then Jesus came and did what he did, and he freed us from that bondage. And verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, God never uses adjectives lightly. Freely. When God says freely, he means free. You know, it didn't cost you anything, but it cost him everything. And thank God that he was willing to pay the price. But it is, notice, he said, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is our Redeemer. He's the only way that we can experience the life of God. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you are connected to the life of God. When you have a relationship to Jesus, you have access. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you have his nature. You have Jesus on the inside. It's Christ on the inside of you, the hope of glory. Jesus is now part of your DNA. He's improved your genes. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Say, Jesus is my Redeemer. Hallelujah. He brought us back. He delivered us. He ransomed us. He set us free. That's what he did. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And it might do you well sometime to go through the book of Ephesians and circle all the phrases in him, with him, through him, and by him. Because it helps you identify who you are in Christ Jesus. See, now that when Jesus is your Lord, you no longer identify with your old way of living. If someone tries to tell me, Doug, you're just, you know, you're no good. I don't believe that, because I now find my identity in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Did that say we have or we're going to have? We have it now. It's not something that's going to be done in the future. You're not going to be redeemed when you die. You are redeemed when you're living. Amen? You have it now. And the redemption is in his blood. It's in Christ. Your total life now is hid in him, in Christ. In Christ alone I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust. He's made it possible. He is now the rock of our salvation. He's the chief cornerstone of our life. That means everything that comes against you, the house will be held together by that cornerstone. It is the fitting piece that holds everything else together. All right, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just encouraging you that Jesus is our Redeemer. And then we're going to talk a little bit about that. Say, I love the Word. Because if you don't, you're in the wrong place. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Peter is talking here. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That sounds to me like God had this, plan long before we ever came about. Amen. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope are in God. You know, we know we can't put our faith in the economy, because the economy will rise and the economy will fall. You don't want to put your faith into anything that can change or anything that can fail. You want to put your faith in something that is secure for eternity. And you've got to put your faith in Christ. You've got to trust him for everything. You know, it's amazing how the early church did what they did and not having what we have. They had no cell phones, they had no computers, they had no teleprompters, they had no microphones. They didn't even have Bibles. Everything was written on a scroll. But yet, look, they turned the world upside down. Partly because they were free from distraction. There was a time when Paul preached so long that someone fell asleep and fell out the window and died. And then they had to heal him, and he went right back to preaching. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God my pastor doesn't preach that long. Now, I admit, I've never been short of words. My first sermon I preached, I went about 45, 50 minutes. And I've been going on ever since. I'm the energizer preacher, you know. But I only go as long as your seat can endure. You weren't redeemed with the things of this world. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God's righteousness demanded that there be a sacrifice. You know, he said that way from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves, but that wasn't good enough. What did God have to do? He had to put skins on them. Where did those skins come from? Those skins came from an animal that had to be sacrificed. God was the first one to perform a sacrifice. He showed them how he was going to redeem us, was through the blood sacrifice. You are brought into the family of God through a blood covenant. And I'm telling you, this blood is thicker than anything else. Amen? So it's precious, but it's through his blood. All right? Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jesus is our Redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So Jesus is your wisdom. He's your sanctification. He's your redeemer. He's your all in all. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not the church you go to. It's not the family you were born in. It's not the job you have. It's Jesus. Only Jesus. People will fail you. Your pastor may fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. I'm just a representative of Jesus. I don't get a special pass because I'm a pastor. I got to live by faith. I got to walk by faith and not by sight, just like everybody. Oh, well, some people say, well, Jesus, he was the Son of God. Really? Well, he denied his rights to act as God. He was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit because God gave authority to the earth he gave authority to man on the earth to operate. So a man had to deliver man. And it had to be a new man. God had to have a different copy. You know, when you duplicate CDs, the master copy, whatever's on the master is going to go on the copy. And if the master is flawed, then the copy will be flawed. And Adam was flawed. He was flawed by sin. Sin had come into him and corrupted him, so God had to make a new master copy. And he brought Jesus as a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he showed us how to live victoriously. And he was a new master copy. And he was pure. He was holy, without fault, without blemish. There were no scratches in that copy. And whatever the master copy has, the copy gets. And now we've been made after the copy of Jesus. He's erased the old master copy, Adam, and he gave us a new master copy, Jesus. Hallelujah. And go to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. And I want you to look at verse 20. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So if you're going to be made alive, you've got to get in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're still in death. But how do you get in Christ? You say, Jesus, you're my Lord and your Savior. I believe you're God's Son. I believe you were sent from heaven. I believe you died for my sins and you rose again. That's how you get in Christ. Amen? So in Christ, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. All right? Now, the reason that Jesus is our Redeemer is because he was the firstborn from the dead. He had to be the firstborn from the dead. Do you realize that Jesus experienced spiritual death just like we did? When he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Because at that moment, him who knew no sin, he took on himself the sin of the world. And God had to forsake him because God is holy. He can't look at sin. That was the first time in eternity where Jesus was separated from his Father. And he died with that sin nature when he took on the sin of the world. And for 3 days, he was tormented. He experienced the punishment. But because he was pure, because he was righteous, because he accomplished all of God's law, God rose him from the dead and he was born, he was risen to a brand new life. And he is the firstborn from the dead. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So what did Jesus do when he rose from the dead? He descended. He led all the captives who were in Abraham's bosom. See, because Jesus had to rise again from the dead first, and then everyone else of us could follow after him. Because he had to be he was the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And that's what makes him our Redeemer. And because God follows order. He follows protocol in his kingdom. He does first things first. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness second, third, first. And all these things, your basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter, will be added to you. Well, things aren't being added to me, then you better check who you're seeking. You might have your seeker out of order. You might have your gauge broken. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Right after Philippians there. And let's look at verse 13. He said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He made a transfer. Mike, can I borrow you as an example? Okay, Mike right now is in the kingdom of darkness, all right? But Jesus came along and delivered him from the kingdom. Stand up. And he delivered him and he translated him into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of light. He put you in a new kingdom now. He caused you to trade. You talk about trading places. While you were out, he was doing a remodeling on your heart and on your life. Thank you, Mike. But he translated you from one kingdom to the next, just like that. When he rose from the dead, everyone who put their faith in him got to come along. We got to reap the benefit of his life. He delivered us from the power of darkness. And I want you to know that his deliverance was absolutely legal. He did not deliver you through secrecy or deceit. He delivered you with the truth. He delivered you according to he crossed every T. He dotted every I. He said, I did not come to condemn the law. I came to fulfill the law. Jesus did everything that was required of him by God to make your redemption secure. There was no legal argument that could ever say against you that you are not redeemed through legal means, because you have been redeemed. It's been signed, sealed, and delivered in his blood. It cannot change. Let's go on. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Say, I'm forgiven. What would the world do if they already knew that they were forgiven? Hey, I want to introduce you to Jesus. Oh, I'm not worthy. Well, I want you to know that he's already forgiven you. Your forgiveness has already been taking place. Your debt's already been paid. So why don't you just come on in? The water's fine. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. I want to read you a story that I came across. It's called The Lost Boat. Tom carried his new boat to the edge of the river. He carefully placed it into the water, slowly letting out the string. How smoothly the boat sailed. Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. Suddenly, a strong current caught the boat. Tom tried to pull it back to shore, but the string broke. The little boat raced downstream. Tom ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but this little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for the boat. Finally, when it was too dark to look any longer, Tom sadly went home. A few days later, on the way home from school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in a store window. When he got closer, he could see, sure enough, it was his. After all, he built it. He knew it. He was familiar with it. Tom hurried to the store manager. Sir, that's my boat in your window. I made it. Sorry, son, but someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you'll have to buy it for $1. Tom ran home and counted all his money, exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. Here's the money for my boat. As he left the store, Tom hugged his boat and said, now you're twice mine. First I made you, now I bought you. Isn't that what Jesus did? He made us. He created us. He's the head of us. And then we fell from his grace. We sinned. We disobeyed his command. And then he had to come and buy us back. And we're twice his. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God who was willing to buy you back? He thought that you were a good investment. He thought that you'd bring a good return. So he invested wisely into you. He poured his life into you. That's how valuable you are to him. Don't you ever allow yourself to think of yourself as unvaluable or unworthy. When you think of yourself as being unworthy, first of all, tell the devil to shut up and then think about what Jesus said on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, I lay down my life. You don't take it from me. I lay it down. That's how worthy he thinks you are. That's how valuable you are to him. You've got to come against those thoughts. Amen? Say, I'm twice bought. Go with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Why is Jesus our Redeemer? Because he's the firstborn from the dead. And if he's the firstborn from the dead, he ought to be first in your life. Jesus ought to have priority in your life. You ought to make it a purpose in your heart to make Jesus a priority. Make him important. He's the most important person in your life. Nothing can take his place. Hebrews 12, verse 22. It says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel." You're part of the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. And when you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, your name gets registered in heaven. It gets written in a book. And when we stand before the Lord, the thing that's going to make the difference is whether or not your name has been written in the book. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then your name is in the book. Hallelujah. So Jesus is our Redeemer because he's the firstborn from the dead. Secondly, Jesus is our Redeemer because he conquered Satan. Say, he conquered Satan. He defeated him. Man, he threw him a right hook that Satan never can recover from. Glory to God. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Now, I want you to know something, that Jesus conquered Satan as a man. As a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Why can you say that? Remember the time when Jesus went to the temple and he asked for, the book of Isaiah was handed to him, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Why does God need to be anointed? Why didn't Jesus perform any miracles until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him? You know, God can do anything. Now, he was God. I'm not denying his divinity. Cults do that. Cults say that God was not Jesus and Jesus was not God. But while he was on earth, he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like you and I. Amen? So Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Let's start with verse 1. It's just so good, I want to get it all in. Romans 6, 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not." Just because you're under grace doesn't give you a license to sin. Your license to sin has been taken away. So you're driving on an unauthorized license if you're sinning. Amen? All I'm saying is that you're free from the sin nature. You're no longer a slave to it. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Say, I'm dead to sin. Verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we also should walk in the newness of life." You got to make it a point to walk in the newness of life. You got to change your ways. You can't just live any way you want to when Jesus is your Lord. When he is your Lord, you agree to his terms, you submit to his rules, you follow his directions, you obey his commands. Amen? If the Lord says to love your neighbor as yourself, guess what? I don't care what your neighbor does to you. I don't care how your neighbor treats you. You love him anyway. Amen? Oh, that was kind of weak. Now listen, we're either going to take the word seriously or not. We're either going to live by the word or we're not. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he meant it. Love is a determining factor of a believer. You know, how are you going to know that I'm a believer? My love for the brethren. They'll know we are Christians by our love for one another, because love is the nature of God. The Bible says God is love. So in order to be a Christian, you've got to walk in love. Everybody smile. Amen. So verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Aren't you glad that we don't have to be a slave to sin anymore? We can be free from it. That's what redemption is all about. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And that's how we are to live. We are to live to God. We are to live according to a different set of principles now. We are governed by the Word of God. We're governed by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the ones who are the sons of God. If you're not being led by the Spirit, or if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, you're not acting like a son or a daughter. You're not acting up to your potential. Come up higher. Amen? The spiritual life is a good life. Jesus, whether he lived a good life. Think about it. Even though he was tempted to worry, he never worried. When Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and Jesus came up to the tomb, was he worried? You know, he had other people that were worrying far more than he was. What was his response to the situation? I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. He had to say Lazarus, because if you just say come forth, who knows what it came out. We've got to study the life of Christ. How did he handle opposition? He never criticized. He never even brought up people's faults. He did get a little agitated. You know, like when his disciples woke him up and said, don't you care that we perish? And he said, how long shall I be with you? Let me sleep. But Jesus, why did the Bible record his 3.5 years of walking on this earth? To show us how we should live now. Because of the redemption that he accomplished for us. Because he redeemed us from poverty, sickness, and death. We can pattern our life after him. If we can't do what he said, if we can't do what he did, then why did he show us? Why did he go through all the trouble? Why did God go through all the trouble that he did, the cross and the resurrection and the virgin birth, just to say that we're old sinners? Why would he do that? You have a brand new nature. You have a brand new nature. And you have a new song, a new walk, you even have a new look. Amen? One of my friends said one time to one of his old buddies, he said, we were talking to him and we were sharing Jesus with him, and he said, Jesus will put a step in your walk. And when my friend said that, this guy turned around the other way. I guess he didn't want to change his step. Amen? So death no longer has dominion over him. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So we see that Jesus is our Redeemer because he's the firstborn from the dead, and he conquered Satan. If Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Who did he make a public spectacle of? Of Satan. Man, Satan was whooped. Jesus whipped him good. He defeated him. So why do people say then the devil is chasing me? Why don't you just turn it around? Why don't you start chasing him? But I can't do that. Yes, you can. In Jesus, you can. You have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when Satan tries to get into your house, you have authority to kick him out. When he tries to get into your life, you have authority to kick him out. When he tries to meddle in your affairs, you have authority to kick him out. Because of Jesus, what Jesus did, he disarmed him. He made a show of him. He defeated him. He beat him. And he made it openly. When he rose from the dead, the whole spirit realm was watching. And the devil couldn't do anything about it. Because Jesus, at that moment, he had legally defeated him. He had reversed the curse that came on when sin. He had reversed the fall, hallelujah. He reversed what Adam lost, Jesus bought. That's good news. Why is it good news? Because you can participate in that. That means you're on the, you know, Ephesians says that he's far above all rule and authority. Say Jesus is far above. So he conquered Satan as a man. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And look at verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Did you know that we're one with Jesus? He who sanctified and those who are being sanctified are one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am. Here am I in the children of God, the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. So does flesh and blood make him 100% man? Absolutely. He shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil. Did Jesus destroy him? Yeah. 1 John 3:8 says he came to destroy the works of the enemy. So any work that the enemy tries to operate against you, Jesus came to destroy, to demolish, to render useless and ineffective. Hallelujah. He destroyed him who had power over death through death. He did it through death. He did it as a man, as flesh and blood, who died, who shed his blood. But then he rose again. He rose to a new life, just like us. When you accept Jesus Christ, you have access right at that moment to a brand new life. All your sins are passed away. When you realize that you've been forgiven, when you realize that he loves you, and when you enter into that fellowship and that relationship with him, man, I remember the night that I got saved. 12 years old. I knew about the Lord. I knew that he existed, but I never knew him personally. To me, he was in the distance. But that night at Abundant Life Tabernacle on 5th Street in LaSalle under Pastor Lloyd Curry, just had a handful of people there. And that night, he said, after he preached the message, is there anyone who would like to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? I was looking at my sister. Raising, you know, when you're not sure, you're kind of, you know. And I went up, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And that night, he did. He made himself real to me. And I entered into a relationship with him. 27 years ago. That's how long I've known the Lord. That's how he's been faithful to me. He's been good to me. I'll tell you what, we serve a good God. He wants to see you reach your best. And it's only through him that you're going to reach your potential. Amen? You're not going to go any further in your life until you fully surrender to Christ. You got to surrender everything. You got to walk the walk. Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Say, deny myself. We don't like to hear that too often, to deny ourselves. Jesus said, but you got to deny yourself. And you got to pick up your cross, whatever you're called to do, your cross. What God has created you to do, your cross. Jesus embraced his cross. What was his calling? He was called to give his life a ransom for many. That was his call. He was called to seek and save that which was lost. He was called to restore a right relationship with God. He was called to be a savior. And he did it. At age 33, he lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. But yet he did everything that God wanted him to do. Why do we wait so long to do what God wants us to do? It could be fear. It could be concern about other things. But when you meet Jesus, yeah, it's going to cost you some things that you would normally give yourself, that you would normally prop up yourself with. It would cost you some things about yourself. You've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. Because if you don't follow him now, don't wait till that day when you're standing before him, because then it's going to be too late. We're all going to be judged by how we live this earth, how we walk with him, what we did with his son, what we did with his call, what we did with our life. What did you do with his word? What did you do with his spirit? What did you do with the call that he gave you? And I don't know why the Lord's leading me to do that. That's not in my notes. But I want to encourage you. Walking with Jesus is serious. It is a matter of life and death. It's not something to be played with. It's not something to be taken lightly. It is serious. Because you might be the only Jesus that people see. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. If you want more blessing, it might cost you more time. It might cost you a greater investment. You know, to get the bigger return, it requires more risk. You want more out of God? Well, why don't you up the ante? Give more of yourself. Make yourself more available. Father, I just thank you for the Holy Ghost right now. You're working, Holy Ghost. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that you can have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus? Well, I thought his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. They are, but he can bring you up higher. Amen? You remember when Jacob fell asleep in Bethel and he had the vision of the angels ascending and descending on a ladder? They were taking things from heaven and going to earth and going from earth to heaven. They were going up and down. The same thing is available to us. And when Jacob woke up from his dream, he said, God is in this place. And he actually named the place Bethel, which means God's house. And he set up a pillar for the experience that he had. You know, and Jacob was the one who wrestled with God. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm going to get my blessing if it means I got to wrestle with you. And the Bible says that he wrestled all night. Said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. How determined are you? How purposed are you to live the God kind of life that God's called us to? Now that we're in Christ, we got to live the God kind of life. That means we've got to eliminate some things. There are some things that are going to hurt your walk if you continue in them. Pride, arrogance, self-righteousness. Jesus called people who operated in that vipers, whitewashed tombstones, blind, children of the devil. Pastor, now you're stepping on some toes. Don't worry, we'll pass out Band-Aids later. My job as a pastor is to help you grow. And sometimes I got to make you eat your vegetables. I'm giving you some spinach now, like Popeye. Let this mind be in you. That means you got to think like Jesus. How do you find out what was Jesus thinking? Read the Word. It tells you very clearly what he thought about sin, what he thought about forgiveness. It tells you what he thought about children. He said, let the little children come unto me. He blessed them, you know. We can find out what Jesus thought about giving. It's all in there. Let this mind be in you. That means you got to renew your mind. That means the mind that you are operating in needs to change, needs to be renewed. Amen? You wash your car, why not wash our mind? They're getting brainwashed in that church. Oh, yeah, my brain needed a big cleaning. It was a mess. Woo, Lord, send the fire hose. Spray me down. You know, like Peter said, when Jesus washed their feet, he said, oh, no, Lord, don't do that to me. Well, Jesus said, if I don't, you don't have any part of my kingdom. He said, well, give me a bath, Lord. Give me a bath. Pour it on me. What kind of mind was in Christ? Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Uh-oh. What was your reputation like before you met Christ? That might have to change. You might have to rid yourself of your reputation. Come on. You're now called a Christian. That means you got to be Christ-like. So whatever reputation you had before, that might have to change. Are you willing to give up your reputation? Some people identify themselves by their reputation. Made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. I've come to give. I've come to help. I've come to bless. How we serve people is an indication of how close we think like Christ. Do we serve people to get something? That's manipulation. You ought to serve people because you love them. You know, love expects nothing in return. You know, Jesus died for the whole world, but there are so many people in the world that haven't accepted what he did. But yet he died anyway because he loved them. That's why we need to serve people. Our motive needs to be love. Our motive shouldn't be to get the spotlight on us. Oh, look at Pastor. He gets to preach behind the pulpit. That's so wonderful. You think it is? Oh, yeah. Let me do a reality show. A day in the life of a pastor. Let's look behind the scenes of what that really means. Boy, this is strange. He humbled himself. Or being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How would you like to be the Lord, Jeff, and say, you know, God says, I want you to go to earth and die. How would that make you feel if you were called to die? Would you embrace it? Jesus did it without hesitation. He answered that call. But I want to live a long life. Well, if you can accomplish your goal in 33 and a half years, you might as well graduate, amen? Well, if you're still here, then that means there's still things that you got to do yet. So don't get so anxious. You know, the Bible says to be friend of the world means to be enmity of God. I don't want to be God's enemy. That's why, when I tell people home is where my toothbrush is. What does that mean? That wherever God sends me, as long as I got my toothbrush, that's home. Amen? Home is wherever God wants me to be. And wherever he tells me to go, I'm going to make a home out of it. If he tells me to go here, I'm going to go here, and that's going to be my home. If he tells me to go here, I'm going to go here, because that's my home. It's like Moses. You know, God said, I want you to go, but Moses said, Lord, I'm not going to go if your glory doesn't go with me. I'm going where the glory is. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if you want his mind to be in you, that's the only way that is how we have to walk this life now. We have to think like he thinks. We have to speak like he speaks. If you want to walk, if you want to live a victorious life, you're going to have to do it how Christ did it. Amen? But you can have his mind. He said, let this mind be in you. It's your choice whether or not his mind is in you. It's not his choice. He did what he's supposed to do. He bought you the ticket. Whether you board the plane or not is up to you. Whether you eat the meal or not is up to you. Whether you wear the clothes that the ticket has bought is up to you. We know in other places in Scripture it says, put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus and true righteousness and holiness. So yeah, Jesus is our Redeemer. Yeah, he's the firstborn from the dead, but now it's up to us. We've got to walk like it's true, because it is true. You can come up higher. You know, the Bible says that godliness, he said bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. And Brother Hagin would always say, I'd like to get the little that the bodily exercise profits. But he said, if you're going to take care of your body, that's going to give you a little profit. But if you take care of your spirit and your soul, that's going to be profitable in all things. Do you want a little profit, or do you want to be profitable in all things? How many want to be profitable in just a little? How many want to be profitable in all things? Amen. You made the right choice. You're a smart bunch. So, we know that Jesus is our Redeemer. He's the firstborn from the dead. He conquered Satan as a man. And now you get to reap the benefits of his victory. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You are accepted in the beloved. You are redeemed. You've been purchased with a price. Your body's not your own. It belongs to God. Amen? So say this with me. Say, Father, I'm going to cease from my own works, and I'm going to trust you and what Jesus did for me with all my heart from this point on. I'm going to walk as Jesus walked, because he's living in me. I can think like him. I can act like him. I've been authorized to use his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you need healing in your body, I'd like to pray for you for those that need healing in your body. I believe that there's a healing anointing here. Why? Because the healer's here. I'm not going to heal anybody. I can't heal anybody. I couldn't even heal a fly with a headache. But Jesus can heal you. That's his desire for you. He wants you whole. He wants you free. Amen? So I just want to invite you to come if you need healing in your body. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. If I could have some ushers come up here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to hook up with me now. All right? Hook up with the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we just thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, right now. Just begin to flow in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, I declare, Father, that freedom from every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, strength come right now. Right now.